This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
Hello, Hearts of Oak, and welcome to another interview coming up in a moment with Ed Dowd, who's been with us before, looking at finance. And this time he looks at something completely different, and that is his book published the end of 2020. Many of you will have seen it, and that is Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. And he brings his analytical mind, originally looking at financial trends, to looking at death trends, let's call it what it is. And he opens the book with newspaper report upon newspaper report, scan upon scan, image upon image of how the media have reported on sudden deaths, at sudden adult death syndrome, deaths amongst children, amongst young people. It should not be happening. And yet he collates it all together. And that is the hard-hitting part of this, that you see it all in one place, you realize, wow, this is what is happening from papers all across the world. He talks about those excess deaths, talks about the rise of the disability in workforce, talks about publishing this, the difficulty of publishing it, the response from publishers, from media. It is a huge topic and a story that has to be told. And I encourage you to get hold of the book, pass it on to friends, family, relatives, anyone who can read this, because they need to grasp this subject and understand the tragic reality of what we face, not only here in the UK, but all across the world. So I know you will be fascinated by this interview with Ed, and you'll want to get the book after you listen and hear him. And hello, Hearts of Oak. Wonderful to have you with us again, and wonderful to have a returning guest. The last time we spoke on economics and finance, but this time we're going to focus on his book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Unknown Deaths in 2021 and 22, and that is Edward Dowd. Ed, thank you for your time today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
Not all. I've literally been finishing your book on my Kindle. It's been a fascinating read, not an enjoyable read, but a fascinating read. And as I think over the last 3 years, we've had lots of fascinating reads that have not necessarily been enjoyable, but have opened the door and explained what is really happening in your book. Cause Unknown is one of them. And for viewers, all the links are in the description. You can find Ed Dowd at Dowd Edward on Twitter, on Getter, everywhere else. But all the links are on the screen there, and also in the description. But Ed, if I could probably begin, because your background is one on finance, and I loved watching your interview or your conference speech at the American Freedom Alliance World War III just last month, a signpost of the sovereign debt bubble popping, what comes next? And that is a fascinating take on the financial side, but we're going to look on something completely different today, and that is your book published just the end of last year. But Ed, maybe we can ask you first of all, what and how moved you from your focus on, I guess, a focus on the finance side, on investments, on trends in the financial sector? What moved you over to looking at what was happening with the excess deaths linked to COVID?
Well, so the bottom line is this. When the vaccine was introduced, I started hearing anecdotes about injuries and deaths, which I shouldn't be hearing statistically. If this thing was safe, and let's forget effective. We know it's not effective, but if this thing was safe and had been vetted like a normal vaccine for 7 to 10 years, I wouldn't be hearing any anecdotes. So I became alarmed, and I was also horrified by the propaganda campaign that seemed to fool lots of people into taking this thing. But then when the mandates came, that's when I lost my mind. I said, okay, here we go. I'm just, you know, look, I'm Irish Catholic, American, fifth generation, and I just don't like being told what to do. That's kind of my nature. And so when they told me I had to take this jab to literally interact with freedoms that were basic to the Constitution of America, that's when I said, okay, done here, and started going to protests. I hooked up with Dr. Malone, who came in October of 2021. And I had already, in my mind, said to myself, well, if the vaccine is really causing problems, and because this vaccine was not just a vaccine that was marketed to a specific group of people, but the whole globe, it should show up in what we call the metadata. And the first metadata I thought we'd look at would be the insurance company results and the funeral home results. And sure enough, the end of 21, it showed up there. I became the guy known as the fellow analyzing excess mortality. Over time, I had a team kind of coalesce around me. It's just not just some dude on the internet, ex-Wall Street guy. It's like I have two PhD physicists who we started a firm called Finance Technology, spelled PH instead of F. We have a website, financetechnologies.com. And since the book has been written, we've just continued our work. And it's a horror show. We've identified excess deaths, we've identified disabilities and injuries, all of which have gone off the rails since the vaccine introduction. So on Wall Street, when you pick a stock, which I was a stock picker, I ran a $14 billion growth portfolio for BlackRock for 10 years. We grew it from 2 to 14 billion over that time. You come up with an investment thesis for a stock and you want to be early to this, what's called the story. And usually there's a story in a stock where something fundamental is changing and you want to get there before the herd gets there and buy the stock. And then as your thesis is proven correct, over time, the stock will go up. People will realize what you saw. And that's all I've done here with the vaccine issue is like I saw a trend. We analyzed it. And unfortunately, I'm here to say the trend isn't getting any better. Excess deaths continue to stay alarmingly high. Disabilities are continuing to climb, granted not as a faster rate as they did in 21 into 22, but now we have injuries which are identified by missed work time and that exploded in 2022. And these numbers are not small. The numbers we've come up with are about 300,000 dead in the US from the vaccines. And of course we do excess mortality for like Europe, the UK, we did Ireland, we did Australia, and it's all showing the same story. A mix shift from old to young starting in 2021. And that's what I talk about in my book, the mix shift from old to young. I use Society of Actuary data, look at disability data. So what I'm here to say is the book gets at, and our research continues, that it's been detrimental to your health to be employed in 21, 22, and continues in 23. And why is that? Why is the most healthy and youngest amongst us getting sicker than the general populations of these countries? Well, it's because they were mandated to take an experimental jab where the drug companies wanted to hide the clinical trial from you for 75 years. That's a fact that most people don't know, but it's true. And from that data that they didn't want you to see, we've been able to estimate all sorts of things. And we showed that in the clinical trials, the magnitude of severe adverse events is now expressing itself in the general population. It's a joke. This is an absolute joke. And in the book, we don't go into the who or why, primarily because, I wasn't in the room when these decisions were made. But what I can say is at this point, they see the same data that I see and we all see, and it's a cover-up. So whatever went down is a cover-up now, and that's a crime.
Well, I want to get, you mentioned Dr. Robert Malone, had the privilege of staying over with him and Jill when I was last over in Virginia, and he's been on many times. But can I ask you about, Skyhorse Publishing published this, and I guess there would be a reticence in publishers to publish this information because it blows the lid on what has been happening. Before we go into some of the data and some of the charts that you have, can I just ask you, what was it like to put this information out? What was the response like, negotiations with publishers, media response? Tell us what that was like.
Well, so I didn't intend to write a book. Gavin De Becker, who lives on the island with me of Maui. He knows Tony Lyons. He's written books. And Bobby Kennedy, all three kind of approached me and pitched the idea of this book because my data was coming at it from the Wall Street side of things, which is just trend analysis. Not, you know, I wasn't trying to figure out, you know, what the medical mechanisms of the vaccine were. There's a lot of debates and lots of back and forth. I'm just counting ones and zeros, dead, not dead, disabled, not disabled, injured, not injured. That shows up. So, you know, at the very least, let's assume I'm wrong. I'm 150% convinced it's the vaccine. If it's not the vaccine, let's assume I'm wrong. Something's going on. The numbers are the numbers. What is it? And more curiously, why are the authorities around the globe unwilling to want to talk about it? Well, the circular logic is it's because it's the vaccine. That's why they don't want to talk about it. You know, the numbers we have now are worse than the pandemic in 2020. The excess deaths, the disabilities, and the injuries, we have a pandemic now. And I call it the pandemic of the vaccinated. And those are just facts. So Tony Lyons, Gavin approached me. I wrote the book. The book has been mostly ignored by the mainstream media. I did get on Tucker Carlson before he was fired. I've been on a couple mainstream podcasts like Patrick Beth David, who was brave enough to put me on. Kudos to him and some others. But, you know, the book has been kind of ignored, even though it's been selling well. Recently, I've come under some new attacks. I think it's because I'm affiliated with the Kennedy campaign. I'm the co-treasurer on his campaign, and I align myself with him because he's aware of the vaccine situation, and he's all about freedom and truth. I may not agree on every topic with him, but without freedom and truth, we got nothing. We're kicking around other issues in the sandbox. So that's where we are. This is an ongoing fraud, an ongoing cover-up. The U.S. is like other countries are starting to back off from this thing. But the U.S., supposedly the leader in global health care, continues to push this poison. Let's just call it what it is. It's poison. Doesn't work. And it's poisoning you. So, you know, as a Wall Street guy, this was a stock that was coming under suspicion of having fraudulent accounting. You know, you don't want to be the bag holder on the way down to zero. So at the very least, this vaccine doesn't work. So why would you get a booster for something that doesn't work? And now we have serious concerns. So, you know, don't be on the wrong side of the trade. You know, if you did get previously vaccinated, just stop. Don't do any more boosters. That's kind of my message. It's like, look, this thing doesn't work. There's a lot of questions around it. It's, in my humble opinion, absolute fraud. And over time, it's going to come out. So don't, you know, continue to take what I call the Russian roulette boosters.
Robert Kennedy Jr., I'm fascinated by his stand and I'm watching, obviously, from across the pond in the UK, watching what is happening over there in the US and how he brings this conversation into, especially on the left, on the Democrat side, which you don't think have had a full conversation on this. But can I bring up some of the data, some of the graphs, some of the information which you brought, and maybe sure. You can talk us through. But this is some of the yearly excess deaths that we've seen. And you can see there is a spike from 2020. But maybe you can kind of mention and help the viewers understand what they're looking at.
What country is this? I can't see.
This is Denmark.
Denmark's the classic example. So you see, we came up with methodology papers on how to, first of all, you have to figure out how to measure excess death. The traditional way of doing it, and even the Society of Actuaries does this, is just to take a five-year average. The problem with that is it doesn't account for population growth or degrowth. So if the population's growing and you use just a five-year average, it'll make it look worse than it is. And conversely, if the population of the country is declining, it'll make it look better than it is. So we adjust for all that. And you can see with Denmark, they had a pretty consistent declining mortality rate that kind of went off the rails starting in 2020, but it's hit new highs in 2022. And on the right, you can see total population, I think. And basically, it shows that each successive year since 2020, more and more people are dying. So What do we know about Denmark? They're one of the most highly vaccinated countries, and every year it got worse. So let's assume it's not the vaccine. Whatever they did in Denmark, and by the way, this, you can find this in all sorts of countries, Australia, you name it. It's gotten worse every successive year. So whatever they're doing is killing more people. So the health response has been a disaster. And since a major component of that health response is the vaccine, and it's continuing to get bigger in 2022, there you go. There's the answer. And what did Denmark do? Denmark basically, effectively, there's some wording people get on me about, but they effectively banned the vaccine for people under 50. And they said, it's better to get COVID than the vaccine. Okay, so what? That's Orwellian speak for don't get the vaccine if you're healthy and under 50. This should be pulled off the markets for every age group. It's a disaster. So Denmark has decided to back off. Other countries are starting to back off. Switzerland came out and said that they're, the liability now lies with the doctors that can continue to push this. So every country is starting to examine this slowly, except the U.S., which is interesting. Because I guess it's because it came from the U.S.
We've had Martin Sichard from AfD politician in Germany talking about the excess deaths they've had in Germany. So I think what you're talking about in Denmark, we have seen, and in the UK, we have seen a certain massive amount of excess death. I think the Daily Mirror had a headline, we are seeing whatever percentage of excess deaths and we don't know what is causing it. And what you're talking about there in Denmark, I think it was 10% of excess deaths, we are seeing a similar level in the UK. So what you're, I guess, coming across, what you've written about is being extrapolated across many, many other countries.
Yeah, other people are doing different work, different methodologies, but the answer is coming up the same. I mean, my objective in doing this was to highlight the issue. And, people are like, oh, Ed, they're copying your work. I don't care. I want people to do as much of this as possible so it multiplies. I'm just one guy, one team. We hope that everybody does their own, every country does their own study. As long as we kind of agree on how to measure the baseline, because excess deaths are a mathematical calculation above what's expected due to like very predictable mortality paths. That's why insurance is a great business. People, insurance companies aren't dumb. They insure people because they know what the death rate is and they make money by charging premiums and they collect more than they pay out. That's the essence of insurance. And insurance companies have had some rough times of late paying out more than they expected. What's curious is the, I'm going to report on this soon, that Society of Actuaries put out their 2022 report this month. And we're looking at the data and the excess mortality in the younger folks continues to be quite high, running in the 20 to 23% area. What's interesting is they in that report, they look at their own, they look at the general U.S. population and the group life people are dying at higher rates than the general U.S. population, which never happened before. This was always a healthier group that all flipped in 21. And so this is a joke. If you're employed, you have a greater chance of dying than if you're not working for one of these large companies that forced you to get the vax. So as far as I'm concerned, the puzzle's been solved. We're just trying to wake up policymakers and those who are brave enough to stick their necks out, which I don't understand. People are dying and getting maimed and disabled. So anybody who is afraid is a coward. Anybody who, now, if you don't know and you figure it out and you're in a position of power, take action. But if you know and you're just scared, well, you're a coward.
In your book, you talked about one insurance company, talked about the CEO of the One America insurance company publicly disclosed that during the third and fourth quarter of 2021, death in people of working age 18 to 64 was 40% higher than what it was before. I mean, that's huge. That is 40% higher. I'm surprised everything didn't stop and the whole media to focus on this. And yet that seemed to be ignored by the world's media.
Yeah, so that came out at the end of 21 into January of 2022. And the CEO said the numbers. The numbers are correct. That actually was verified later by the Society of Actuaries. What he said for his company turned out to be the number for the whole industry. So 40% excess mortality across the board in 2022 for 25 through 64. Now, let's use his own words. His own words were a 10% increase is a once in a 200-year flood. 40% is off the charts. So now, at the time, what did he say? He blamed COVID. Okay. He blamed COVID. Now, you got to remember, we had in 2021, we had the original variant, which was the worst, then Delta, which was the second worst. And by the time he spoke, Omicron was starting to emerge, which is basically a common cold. So at the time, he said that. He probably believed it, and he just was wrong. My job as an analyst on Wall Street is to sit in front of CEOs, listen to them, and bet against things I think that they're either incorrect about or lying about. I think he was just incorrect about that. And as time has rolled on, it's becoming more apparent that these excess deaths are non-COVID. So if it's non-COVID, what is it? Well, people blame drug overdoses and suicides, deaths of despair, and missed cancer screening treatments or appointments. Let's go through each one of those. So in the third quarter of 2021, the excess mortality spiked to 84% for the age groups 25 through 44, which I call the millennials. These are people who shouldn't die. And their death rate was a lot lower during 2020. So it spiked to 84% in a three-month period, which is when the mandates hit in the U.S. And these group life policies are given to those who work at large Fortune 500 companies or mid-sized companies. If you're a small business, you don't have group life, okay? So these folks accelerated from around 30% excess mortality in the summer when Delta was raging into 84% by September, October of 2021. So to blame suicides is insane, because then you're saying that there was a group suicide pact amongst those with the best jobs. That's absurd. To say that they overdosed on fentanyl and heroin is absurd, because to get the policy claim, you have to be employed at the time. So from my experience, fentanyl users and heroin users tend not to keep their jobs very long and tend not to be employed at these companies. And then the third excuse, missed cancer screening appointments. I'm 56. I've never had one. Usually you get a cancer screening when you present with illness. You don't go pre-screen. Insurance companies don't spend money where they don't need to. So you don't go in and get these tests and then die in mass in the third quarter of 2021 from you're 32. And I guess you didn't know you had colon cancer and you dropped dead in the third quarter of 2021. It's all nonsense. And then, obviously since that spike, the vaccine program has waned. A lot of booster uptake has gone down. But what's disturbing to me is that the excess mortality in this group is still running around 23%, which is absurdly high and a problem. And injuries seem to be happening a lot, meaning missed work time, chronically ill. And if you're injured, you can move into the disabled category or the dead category. These categories aren't static.
Well, let me bring up, because that's excess mortality, that is the scary thing. And before we go into some of the examples in your book, this is one of the charts. And
you can
right
see the
there,
spike. Yeah, you can see the spike right there. Now, 100 is baseline. So you see 200%, which is 100%, and 179, which is 79% above. That averages to around 84% for the group 25 through 44. There, it's right there. Boom. That's what we call the event. That's what we call the smoking gun.
What has been the response, again, to the media? Because it is there. It is clear. You've done the research. You've shown the data. It's out there for all to see. You'd expect the media to pick up on this and to run with this as the major story of the year. But this seemingly hasn't got out. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the good news is it's spreading word of mouth, so that's good. The bad news is the media is owned by the pharmaceutical industry, because they, on the nightly news in the U.S., I think 75% of the nightly news budget is pharmaceutical spend. Now, all of media is not 75%, but I think the nightly news is basically sponsored by pharma. So they have huge incentive not to go against their gravy train. So you got that going. You got, all of Congress and the Senate kind of still being lobbied by the pharmaceutical industry. And then you have the technology companies that are the platforms for social media. Now, Twitter's different. It's been bought by Elon. And I was banned from Twitter, but put back on in December. And I had 87,000 followers when I got turned back on. Now I have 216. So word of mouth spreading. But it's slow, and it's never been more dangerous to be misinformed than right now. And it kind of makes me sick to my stomach. So there's a lot of vested interests. I call it a conspiracy of interests to keep the lid on this. Technology companies were excited about the surveillance technology cash flows they were going to get if this thing, you know, was going to be, you know, implemented forever, which it's not, with vaccine passports and, you know, quarterly jabs. So they gratefully did what the government told them, which was to censor. And it's come out from the Twitter files that there's a censor industrial complex. There's a whole host of companies that basically make money censoring folks. And so they don't want this to come out. The media definitely doesn't want this to come out. And our health authorities that ram this through don't want this to come out. So it's kind of this, let's pretend it never happened and hope that people forget. The problem is these vaccines are still being offered. They're trying to bring out new ones. And until people who have already been injured know what the cause is, the doctors who don't know any better are going to treat the symptoms, not the result of the jab. And the jab, we believe, is compromising immune systems. You need to repair your immune system rather than treat shingles or, you know, whatever shows up from your compromised immune system. We're hearing of young people dying from pneumonia this winter. I mean, who the hell dies from pneumonia in your 30s? Well, I guess if you're vaccinated and boosted, that you got a chance of dying from pneumonia.
Well, you talk about excess death, and we'll touch on that again later. But we've had in the UK big demonstrations. Truth Be Told is one organization which is highlighting the vaccine damage to people, the disability side. And this is something which you bring up. Let me bring up one of the slides, and this is the labor force, 16 to 64, and this is the disability within that. And it's, again, you see the trend, and suddenly there is a spike from early 2021 of that disability within the workforce. So it's not just death, but it's actually the inability to work and the damage that's causing to individuals after having this.
Yeah, so we discovered the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, which does disability numbers, and it went off the rails starting around February of 21. And when we delved even deeper, so the correlation with the vaccine uptake is 0.9. Now, people say correlation is not causation, whatever. At least the question needs at least to be asked, and they don't even want to ask the question. But when we delved into the numbers a little deeper, you can break it down by employed versus the general population. And the general U.S. population had not 8% increase in disabilities into November of 22. The employed population had a 31% increase of disabilities into 2022. So again, the people who are employed, generally speaking, are much healthier than those who are unemployed, right? Correct? By the very nature, you're getting up in the morning, drinking your coffee, and getting yourself to work. You know, if you're, you know, super young, you're not working. If you're super old, you're retired and you may be sick. But if you're able-bodied and able to, you know, get up and go do something, you're generally speaking a healthy individual. This all flipped in 2021. So of the 3.2 million individuals added to the disability survey done by this department, 1.7 were employed. So half, more than half of the newly disabled were employed. Shocking. We just dropped. So we did another study on absence rates and work time lost. And we found that this accelerated. We put that out a couple months ago. We found that accelerated in the U.S. in 2022 especially, and it was 13 standard deviations above the 20-year trend line, which is, just to understand what a standard deviation is, a three standard deviation event happens 0.03% of the time. 13 is what we call a black swan event, should not be happening. Well, guess what we did recently? We put this out last week. We did an analysis of the UK disability data, our absence and work time loss data, and we found the exact same trend. And what's interesting, it actually went down in 2020 for your country. It went up in 2020 for us, but in your country, it went down. Then it went up in 21 and then exploded in 22. And it's 12 standard deviations above your 20-year trend. So whatever's going on in the UK is happening in the US. You got a sick workforce. And I guess it's climate change.
Let me bring up some of the... one of the things that really hit me, even when you open up the book and go through it, it is the not just the stories, but actually those screenshots of the stories from the media, from the newspapers. And this is an example, and you open up with health young athletes died unexpectedly in their sleep, and the SAD new normal, the sudden adult deaths. Tell us about this, because it's quite a shocking, sobering opening up to the book whenever you see not just Ed, you talking about, you know, the names of people who have died, but actually it is all there. The media have recorded it, and you're simply bringing it together.
Yeah, so you'll notice all we do in this section is we link local news stories. We don't comment on individual people. We just link news stories of sudden athletic deaths. And again, you know, the book puts a human face on it with these stories, and then I go into the data. And we can talk about sudden athletic deaths in a very interesting way. Did they happen before COVID vaccines? They sure did, but they're super rare. There was a study done in 2006 by the Switzerland Lausanne Institute that tried to put, you know, a number on this, and they found over 38 years, 1,101 such cases of people who died under age 35 on the field. And that's 29 a year. You know, in the book, what our list is not exhaustive. We have hundreds and hundreds of examples that we'd be lucky to have a month with just 29 in it. Instead, we have months upwards of 80 across the globe. So as a trend guy, did this phenomenon occur before? Sure. But the frequency with which it's occurring is like tenfold what it was in the past. And again, why are the most elite, healthiest amongst us dropping dead on the field, you know, in a new frequency rate that's tenfold what it was? Well, it started in 21. And what changed? Mandates and vaccines, because schools and sports mandated all this stuff. So, look, if I'm wrong, I'd love to be wrong, but no one wants to talk about this, which is, you know, obviously very suspicious to me. And people want to pretend it's not going on, but it is. I deal in reality. I live in reality. And there's a bunch of people that want to live in la-la land. Again, good luck to you.
When you've probably brought in trends from your financial side, people have been willing to look at it, and it's showing where the market is heading. Therefore, you want to get in. You would kind of think any trend, people want to understand what is happening earlier on to be ahead of the curve, in effect. But this seems to be the opposite. The people don't want to see, don't want to understand, don't want to acknowledge. Whenever you were putting this down, were you expecting people to adopt, I guess, the same response as you would have in the financial sector?
Well, so in the let me grab something. Someone made this for me, because I've been saying this a lot. Someone made this as a gift for me. You can't rationalize facts to someone whose position is based on emotion. It's a coffee mug. And that's something I learned when I was in business school.
Okay.
And I saw that on Wall Street. And, you know, for instance, let's talk about the Enron fraud. I knew it was a fraud. I got my firm out of the way of the disaster. I didn't catch the top, but, you know, we owned it. And once I realized it might be fraud, you know, I'm not married emotionally to a stock because it's a piece of paper. A lot of people emotionally get emotional about stocks. And I had peers that I would talk to and say, hey, this thing's fraud. And they said, no, you're wrong, Ed. I talked to the CEO and he told me everything's fine. I go, well, that's the nature of a fraud. You talk to a CEO. And by the way, psychopaths that run these companies into zeros, frauds, they will act as if everything's fine and convince you. They will never admit to the fraud until they're in handcuffs. And that's what's going on here. So a lot of people that took this vaccine that were emotional about it based in fear and or, you know, adopted COVID as their new religion, it's become part of who they are. So they can't admit to it. So that there's that going on. The good news is most people did not take this because it was a virtue. Most people were either threatened or were ambivalent about it. And now that they're learning, they'll pull a 180 and they're not emotionally attached. But there's a huge pocket of people still emotionally attached to this decision who won't ever want to admit defeat. And there's also the vested interest, the conspiracy of interest, who may know that it's a disaster, but they'll never admit to it either because, you know, some of these people, again, I wasn't in the room. There may have been some malfeasance and fraud that's going to put people in jail. So they're going to run with this until they can't. And unfortunately, my prediction is as more and more people figure out what's happened and the injuries continue, eventually there'll be a kind of a tipping point. And then there's going to be a lot of angry people, unfortunately.
As you put this out, the book has been out since the end of 2022. What has been the kind of response, the engagement? Obviously, I've seen you on War Room many times discussing this. There must have been a reticence, I guess, to publish this information, which seemingly not only goes against the mantra from the government, but goes against Big Pharma, which has got deep pockets. So there's a financial interest in going in. It's not just going against the government edict, but it's going against the money system of Big Pharma. As you put this out, kind of tell us about how it's been taken, how it's been accepted, that kind of fight, I guess, you had of putting out this information.
So we're running along there's a saying, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you. I went through the ignoring period. Then the fact checkers came in and tried to, like, you know, laugh at me. Now they're starting to fight. I mean, it's our website was taken down last week. Our website was taken down and we were attacked. And now it's back up, thank God. And I started to receive a line of personal attacks in certain areas of social media that seemed very coordinated. I'm not even going to talk about what they are because I'm not going to give any – you don't give the trolls anything to feed on. So just know that something shifted last week. It went from ignoring and laughing to coordinated attacks on the website and personal. So the good news is – that says to me, they're now fighting me because the word's getting out. The book was a number one seller for a long, long time. Sales have declined a little bit, as is natural in a book after its first 6 months. It'll probably catch a second wave soon as this breaks into the mainstream, and I'll probably go on more mainstream media type of things as they try to, you know, change the narrative and pretend they never were involved. But this is where we are. The fight has begun. So, you know, after they fight you, you win. So winning is 6 to 12 months away, but people are like, are you scared? I'm like, no, this is the fun part. This is the good part. Now they have to pay attention.
Tell us about the data reporting, I guess, because the VAERS is the system you have in the US to report side effects of and adverse effects of vaccines. Looking at it from a non-medical, non-scientific point of view, as I've read into it, it seems to be a laborious, difficult process designed to maybe slow down reporting. But I mean, tell us the kind of the data which has been accessible to you and you've looked at, because not all countries report it. And fears, obviously, the US, the UK have reported. I've read Israel have reported a lot of stuff. Other countries have not reported it. Well, what has that been like for you, looking at trying to access, I guess, this data?
Well, we've written about VAERS, but that's not where most of our data comes from. We decided, because of the nature of this jab and it was so universal, it's going to show up in the what we call the metadata, just the dead, the all-cause mortality, ones and zeros. And it has, and we've proven that. And it also showed up in other databases like, you know, insurance actuarial databases, funeral home results. And it showed up at the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and the U.K. Labor Statistics, the ONS data there. So they can't hide it. The VAERS data, we tried looking at the data, and it's problematic. And it's hard to analyze, and they do that on purpose. But just looking at the VAERS database, like eyeballing it, the number of adverse reports for this vaccine dwarfs any other vaccine we've ever seen. The naysayers on VAERS say, "Oh, these are fraudulent anti-vaxxers entering reports." First of all, it's an onerous process. Yeah. Doing so, you can go to jail. And it usually is done by a doctor, and I don't think access to the average Joe is available. So, but we didn't lead with the VAERS data. We led with the, you know, the government data of all cause mortality, disabilities, and now injuries. And what's interesting is most countries are reporting them on time, although they're starting to delay that data. And the most egregious has been Canada. Canada has stopped reporting the dead people. So they're like 6-8 months behind. And, you know, if you're a first world country and you're a government, one of your jobs as a government is to count things. And, you know, that's so third world countries like Africa have problems, you know, accessing records because a lot of people just don't even get birth certificates or register. But in the, you know, in developed nations, this data should be readily available once it becomes. And so Canada has either become a third world country, which I don't believe it is, or they're hiding the data, which I think they are.
Tell us about just to finish off with the viewers, the listeners. Obviously, this is a topic which many of our viewers and listeners have been extremely interested in with a number of guests. So they get hold of the book, Cause Unknown. They read through it. They want to kind of do something. They've been informed. What were your thoughts on educating the public and giving them that information? Kind of what do they do with it, I guess, is a question for our viewers and listeners.
So let's just start with the book. The book was written leaving out the who and the why on purpose, because we don't want people to get bogged down in that, which I can't prove because that's all speculation. What we can prove is something's going on. These numbers are the numbers. The lack of talking about these numbers, in my humble opinion, is a cover-up. And in the book, we say our thesis is it's the vaccine. And we come at it from a Wall Street trend analysis perspective. And it's a very sober, non-bombastic book. And what people have told me is they'll buy it for themselves because they already believe. They'll read it, then they'll hand it to a loved one. And there's lots of reports of people coming back to me saying that, you know, the book has been able to flip someone from getting boosters to not getting boosters. So first step is, you know, buy the book for yourself, but then give the copy to someone else after you read it. Some people have bought multiple copies and given them to their whole family, whether they're received well or not. So that's one thing you can do. You can also go to our website, financetechnologies.com. We have all the data. You can use all the data there. If you want to go to your local school board, if you want to go to your congresswoman, if you want to go to your state reps. So it's like a force multiplier. And, you know, it's just everyone needs to take some sort of action. And the action is inform, educate. And I know some people live in liberal cities. They don't want to talk about it, but you can buy the book and leave it on your desk. You know, there's a story last week. I know someone who knew a guest was coming. They left the book out, and then the person came and they grabbed the book, and now they're questioning the vaccine. So that's kind of what this is. It's kind of a Paul Revere pamphlet. You know, like, the British are coming. It's a warning. Like, and the warning is this: don't take the thing, because we all know it doesn't work. So why take something that doesn't work first? Second, my data shows something went off the rails starting in 2021. I'm 150-200% convinced it's the vaccines. If it's not, then what is it? But at the very least, why take something that doesn't work? And that's the mission, that just to save a marginal life, change a marginal mind, and that's it. I mean, that's why I wrote the book. I didn't write the book because it's fun. And I wrote the book to save people from making bad decisions.
Well, I live in a very liberal city, London, the UK, and I'm happily having the conversation with friends, family, school pickup when I do that. And there's always a range of people that you can have this conversation with. So, Ed, I appreciate you coming on and discussing the book. I found it fascinating reading on my Kindle. Didn't get a hardback, but it was on the Kindle. Really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for putting in the time and effort and hard research, which I know goes into publishing anything like this. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I just want people to know it's not just me. There's a team behind a lot of what was in the book. Gavin DeBecker had a team sourcing the stories. All the data that I presented was done with volunteers, my own research, my partners, Carlos and Yuri, Josh Sterling, who's now public. So, you know, this is not just some dudes with spreadsheets on the internet spreading misinformation. This is top-notch Wall Street research.
Sorry, my very last thought, there'll have to be a part B. There'll have to be an update to this, because the data is coming out. You've set kind of the groundwork, the data is continually coming out. So does that mean that you will have to update it and include the data, which is progressively getting worse?
Yeah, probably at some point. I'm not looking forward to that, because that requires work. We're also thinking, we have a website, and we're thinking of figuring out a media strategy to maybe produce a pamphlet or a book that showcases the work from our website, which is even more comprehensive than my book. We also are trying to figure out a way to make PDFs that are downloadable rather than people screenshotting our work. So we're you know, look, this is a volunteer effort. This is all pro bono. We have a hedge fund that we're looking to start at some point, but we put that on the back burner while this is more important to get this information out. So we're not doing this. We're funding this out of our own pockets. So, you know, as we get volunteers who want to give us time and effort, this stuff will come. So and our team's growing. We keep getting more and more volunteers from very different political ideologies, very different. I mean, this cuts across left, right, green, red, blue, purple. This is team humanity. And if you're for truth and not being forced to take experimental gobbledygook into your arm, you're on our team.
I find that out 100%. So, Ed, I appreciate you coming on, and thank you to our viewers for tuning in and our listeners for listening. And do make sure you get a copy. All the links are in the description, and do pass it on to friends, colleagues, those on the school gates, whoever. Make sure they get the information. So, Ed, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list, donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.